And that's a gift in itself, too. Well, we'll see how this goes. Different people may have something to say. It's always fun to see what people will say or not say. I will just say from my own vantage point, as a pastor, I often get a bird's eye view of many of the trials and challenges, and many of those things that happen in our lives are not necessarily for public testimony or things like that, but yet I want to say that's my testimony, seeing God working in your life in ways that's amazing. When I love Corrie Ten Boom, when she was released from prison, when she was in the concentration camps in World War II, she was freed after the war. Her sister died, but she said, "There's no pit too deep for God to pull you out." And when she was in the concentration camp, she was mad at God, why God let her do this. And her loving sister, who was her closest person, died in the camp. And then she describes the pit that God brings us through. And then he also promotes us, and he blesses us with things that are hard to understand and puts us in places and with people that we wouldn't necessarily choose. That's also part of his plan. So I do have one that I kind of sneak preview. I wanted Tony to come up. Tony and Emmy, if both of them are just Tony. Is Emmy here? Is she important to this? She's important to this. Go get Emmy then. And then would someone like to get us started this morning? Brrr, drum roll. Brrr, start on this side. Brrr. Okay. I'll get Renee. And Renee, don't move. I'll come to Renee because she just had surgery. So you can talk into this.
I'm so thankful for this whole church, for all your prayers and your concern. And God's given me a wonderful family here, a wonderful husband and pastor, and just all the church has been really blessed me through all this. And through all of it, there's just been such a minimal amount of pain and worry and concern, and the doctors and everything just fit so well together. So I'm just so thankful for all of you and your prayer and your concerns and all. Thank you so much.
It's still a work in progress for me as well. I can stand. I didn't have surgery. It's a work in progress. I just feel like the Lord brings things to our attention when we're not paying attention, and that's certainly my case. I recall the little jingles, how one of the angels kind of kept getting knocked off the podium in that presentation. I kind of felt like, boop, I got a little jilt myself, and things that I need to attend to. And it really, in the spiritual world, in terms of not being spiritually dull, to really assert some leadership that God has given to me, and I've kind of like let it slide. So I've been a little bit passive, but the Lord's taken this opportunity. There's always good in every trial, and in our case, it's no exception. There'll be lifestyle changes and things that we attend to, but Renee's right. In terms of the church, you've really buoyed us with your prayers. As we've just been floating along, but now we're going to take that and go forward and take steps as we grow in strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm playing Phil Donahue today, but you have to be pretty old to even know who that is.
My family has a tradition on Christmas Day, and that is that we all, before we open presents or anything else, we all sit down and we write a letter to Jesus. And my letter this year starts out with praise him. And the songs this morning and everything else just reiterated praise to Father. So for this year, this is my year of Father. This is my year to focus on him, We all go through years and times of drought. And I've gone through what I've called a multi-year drought in my own life. Kevin is testimony to this. But in the midst of the drought that I have been in, and I'm still in it, God has allowed me to praise him. God has allowed me to focus on him in the midst of the dryness and everything else. And so I hope that you guys can join me this year and let it be year of Father. Thank you, Dale.
After I learned that my son was having a quadruple bypass surgery and a carotid artery in his neck, I was waking up one morning, not quite awake, and the enemy just started attacking my mind, saying he wasn't going to make it. And it just terrified me. And I got up, put on my robe, and went in the den to have my quiet time. And at the top of the page of that day's devotional, it said, "You will not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord." And it seemed like the Lord changed the "you" to "he." He will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And the Lord gave me a peace from that. He's doing great. He was dismissed from the hospital last night, and he's at Jennifer's and George's for a week. So thank you.
You don't know me very well because my husband and I go back and forth between Utah and California, but 21 years ago we foster adopted a pair of fetal alcohol drug twins, and our David's been a real challenge to us, and his first axle is Asperger's and then borderline personality disorder. And just up until last year, he just got out of Metropolitan State Hospital for 4.5 years. And the Lord, through everybody's prayers, has launched him this year. In the last couple of months, has launched him. He got his first job in Bryan Head. And he loves his job. And he's got a place to live. And the Lord is raising him up. And I just want to let you know, when you pray, sometimes things don't happen right away. But God's got his perfect timing. And he's emotionally healing our son. And he's doing this, and we're just watching this as a slow-moving picture as he's launching our son. We're here, and he's in Utah right now. But God's really, it's a miracle. So, and he's a real answer to prayer.
I see that hand. Where's that hand? Oh, Sue Hansen.
The perfect timing that she was speaking about comes to me this year because just in my own personal journey, I had many months of pain, and then with searching with doctors and with all the prayers of this church, we found a tumor that turned out to be benign, was removed. It was just wonderful that the pain that I had for 7 months was gone the minute I woke up out of surgery, and that's just a blessing right there, just amazing. And I was, it brought to me the thought of how I've seen the perfect timing of God so much in all of our health that has been going on and all of our things in the church, but so much more with Emmy. If the timing had not been perfect, you would not be on the road that you are on to in January. If the timing had not been perfect with Renee and Dave, they would have been living somewhere else when Renee had her illness. And God has brought all of us to the place that we need to be, and the place that I see that more than anything is this home, this church. This is where we're supposed to be. And thank you so much. Thank you all.
say something? He's only been here one Sunday and he wants to say something. I think he's a preacher.
My testimony is just to encourage you all. In 1991, right after me and my best friend of 25 years, Tony Terusa, right after we became Christians, a great pastor invited us into his home for a college Bible study. We were juniors in high school, 16 or 17-year-old kids, that just a bunch of goofballs, and somehow this pastor was kind enough to invite us into his home and sit with all the college kids and sit under his teaching, strong biblical foundation. And out of that, out of Mission High School, there was a group of about 15 of us or something that just, most of us are still on fire today, many in ministry. And this morning, Pastor Kevin shared that was all the way back then, that was on his heart to sow into the next generation. And I'm standing here as a testimony today that this man, I'm very thankful for him, and I'm very thankful for Saddleback Covenant and how you've poured into more people than you know. You have been a beacon of light in this community. Saddleback Covenant is well spoken of everywhere I go. And I love this family, even though I don't know many of you. I love what God is doing here and how faithful he is through all these generations. And I know many of you have gone through ups and downs and hard times, but God is definitely present among you and using you and unified you in the Spirit. And I'm so excited to see what the next 20 years will bring in this family of God and what God is doing here. So thank you, Pastor Kevin, and thank you, Saddleback Covenant, for who you guys are. And, you know, you've ministered to my kids the last 10 years, too, in VBS, so thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Jason. You want to come up? You want to come up?
I'm very thankful for my best friend. We've done a lot of life together and seen many things. You're a blessing to us and our family. And I just want to, you know, many of you know that Emmy's going to have a surgery very soon, just in a couple weeks here. And I'm just going to proclaim right now that our testimony is going to be a victorious one, and God is going to keep you healthy, and we're going to come through on the other side. And we've really, really thank all. I just want to thank all of you for your prayers and your support, and for this woman here. And I also want to share something that's kind of struck me this last year. kind of a little bit odd, but as many of you know, I've been in landscaping for a long time, and you know, living out in Majeska Canyon, I've done a lot of gardening and whatnot, and you know, lots of trials and errors, more errors than victories. But you know, it was Susanna Jones and Cade actually that kind of spurred something in me, where you know, Susanna shared in church about a year and a half ago about her testimony and how God has brought her through her surgery, and how she was, you know, focused on healthy eating and living. And she shared something about a man up in Washington that she was involved with, where they would plant extra rows of their crop to share. And I'm telling you, right when she said that, it hit me that that's what I need to be doing, something like that. And so shortly after that, Aaron actually told me that, you know, she, you know, with their struggles with Cade, they're trying to eat healthy and whatnot. And he wasn't eating lettuce. I had a lot of lettuce. So we had him over the house, and Emmy made these great signs that said Cade's lettuce. And we brought him over, and he loved it, and, you know, took pictures and whatnot. And the greatest victory of all was that he was eating it. So through all that, through what Susanna said and her testimony and Cade's testimony and the Spinellos, we're starting, I don't know what you want to call it, but we are starting an organization that we're going to help people garden, set them up, get them going, create healthy food, and try to take the biblical concept of giving 10% back for people with critical illness. So we need prayer. If it's only our house that's going to do it, then it's only going to be our house. But already we've got a lot of support, so it's good. God's doing a great thing.
And just to add to tenfold, it was just so amazing to see God place this desire in Tony's heart and seeing it develop, and slowly just see the doors completely blown wide open. And this past weekend, we had our first opportunity to distribute 7 packages to 7 families that are battling some type of illness, critical illness. And it was so sweet to be in that spot that God ordained for us to be and to do what we've been called to do. And I said I had to contain myself because I just wanted to break down and do an ugly cry, but I can't. But I just, it's so sweet and so amazing to be where we're at. So that's it. I just wanted to say that.
Anybody else before? I'll get one in the back. One in the back. You. Why don't you just take the microphone?
With all those testimonies, I think about God's grace in healing me. And I was challenged this summer doing a Bible study up there in Washington. And it kind of came together with everything he's been speaking to me for 10 years. And the challenge was that in the Bible study, we had to memorize verses, which is my very weakness. But it became my strength slowly, how God was building me up in my faith through that process. And so I wanted to share the couple of the verses that God was reminding me of, how he was bringing me through all kinds of different things, through my illness, through my marriage, through the body of Christ, and just through me learning how much he loves us. And so I wanted to share that. I'm going to say what I was thinking, and then I'm going to say what he told me in his word. So the first one, I started this in spring, and we finished it in fall. And the book that we were studying was called Because He Loves Me. What is getting in your way? So God said in Ezekiel 36:25, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. So what was getting in my way? I can go on and on about that, but we all can think about what things get in our way that we make as idols. And even though I've gone through my process, there's still idols I have to throw away. The other one that was on my heart that he taught me was, be thankful for all you have, that all I've gone through. And then he said in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared us beforehand, that we should walk in them. My other thought that he brought me through, every step of faith is purposeful, even when you feel uncomfortable. There's times I know all of us who God puts things in our heart, in front of people or things, and we feel uncomfortable. But he tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:58, so my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable, always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And I really learned that because sometimes I thought just the little things was important, but the little things are important. Reminder when I respond to decisions I make every day. Ephesians 1:7-8, in him we have redemption in his blood, forgiveness of sins according to his precious grace that he lavishes on us with his love. He has given me a lot of grace. God has given me a lot of grace in so many things. My job is to honor him with everything I do. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole know what he has done for you, or he has done for others, that you're present. The plans are for the Lord's purpose. So many times Max and I have struggled making so many plans. I don't know how many plans you guys make for your future, but we have made plans, and sometimes God said, yeah, that's a good one, and the other one said, I don't think so. So he reminds us in Proverbs 16:1, we can make our own plans, but the Lord gives the right answer. And then my life verse, a lot of you know this, I live by Hebrews 11:1, I've had to, we all do. Now faith is the assurance we hope for and the evidence we do not see. And the last one is, God gave this to Max. As of this coming month, next week, I will be cancer-free for 2 years. And God gave this to Max and for us. It's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you future and a hope. And he has, and just as Tony was saying, there's been so many things from this summer, challenges to help a body, a church body, to continue being with other people and encouraging them, and to this new thing as being part of Tony's plans. So I'm excited. I hope for you, all of you can be excited whatever God does for you.
It's a quick one. I know that we'll share in a few weeks all that God did over 5 months for us being gone, but one quick one I wanted to share on this testimony day is I know so many of you were worried for us and had a heart to pray for Sheffield, especially while we were traveling. And we went to 10 countries, lived very rural, very dirty, near a lot of disease, things that I don't think you typically would take a two-year-old to. And but we felt confident that God was calling us there as a family and that he would protect us. And I just want to give testimony to so many of you had like an extra heart to pray for him. And you told us before you're going, we are praying for Sheffield. I mean, your whole family in general and the team, but just that little Sheffield is protected and doesn't have any high fevers, because of course we were afraid to be rural with a seizure. And Sheffield was the healthiest one on the trip. Team of 38, all the college students, even our family, Sheffield never even had a cold. What two-year-old doesn't have a cold in the fall? I mean, we were constantly in awe of God's protection. I feel like we like literally saw like a bubble around Sheffield. He was healthy, he was safe. We had bug bites galore. I mean, we took malaria pills, we took everything to protect ourselves, but we had bug bites all over us. Sheffield never even got a bug bite. I felt like that was just the exclamation of God saying, like, he's that protected on this trip. And so I just want to thank you for our prayers, and I want to give glory to God for protecting our little boy through so many crazy places, and we saw a huge answer to prayer. So thank you.
John and Erica, sometime, I'm not sure whether it be next week or the week after, but they're going to take a couple of Sundays to try to unpack this trip they took around the world. Almost everyone would know that here, but they just got back from 4.5 months of around the world, and they took their family with them. And Jack, his testimony, he's still going, and Naomi, but little taking a two-year-old, you know, Nepal's kind of high. You know where that is? Paul's right at the, it is in the Himalayas, and not catching a cold there or having a problem, that's kind of amazing. Well, as I listen to the testimonies, they're encouraging. You know, Dale, think about the drought that's going on in California. They're still producing fruit in the big breadbasket up there on the San Joaquin Valley because of the aquifers. There's deep water way down, and they have to drill down and get the water up, and then if they drill all the time and ruin the aquifers, even when the rain comes, it can ruin the potential for being productive. But in seasons of drought, there's an aquifer in each one of your spirits that God drills down. There's water there, even when you don't feel it, even when you've got all the burdens of the world on you, he draws from that. And the other thing, you know, Emmy talking, she reminds me of, she has a major surgery coming up, but she's in the process, she's trying to help people with surgery. It reminds me of Never Give Up, Negu, the whole thing, that the little girl that had cancer, Jessie, was thinking about other people with cancer when she had it. And there's something about given, it shall be given to you, pressed down, running over. God gives us something back in great measure. And this, the other thing I want to say is this past year, we did a whole series on the power of your story. and you are a living epistle, according to Scripture. So in other words, God Almighty is writing a story about you with your life. And your sons and daughters of the kingdom, and he's sowing you in to this world. This is his plan, not mine, okay? But he decided to use us to sow wherever we're supposed to go. Sons and daughters in the kingdom. So that's you. So you're seed to God Almighty. And so as you hear these different testimonies, we don't know how we got there because he's the seed sower. And the seed sower just, he throws it out and puts you in places that you normally wouldn't go. So as we're coming to a time of communion, and I thought if you could bring up Luke 7:36, I wanted to read a story that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, but I think it's a good story for communion. I'd have you turn in your Bibles, but you don't have your Bible with you. I know that. How many have their Bibles with them? Let me see you. Would you turn around and say good job to that person? Yeah, good job. Because if the overhead ever breaks, we're all going to be backslidden. But for the time being, Jesus is out and about. And there's a Pharisee. A Pharisee was like a legal scholar, holy man, part of the power structure. And Jesus had done a lot of things. Miracles were happening and people were interested. So this Pharisee thought it would be a good idea to have Jesus to his house. Jesus might be impressed by his house. Jesus might be impressed by just how good this man was. So now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, we're all sinners, but apparently, describing her as a sinner, most people, most commentaries believe that she was a prostitute. In other words, she made her living in an Orthodox Jewish environment somehow as a woman of the street. That's disgusting. She violated every principle of purity. And there's lots of words I could use that would be inappropriate here of who she was. People look down on her. She's terrible. Awful. There's the story. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet. So when Jesus is reclining at table, he's on his side and his feet are out like this. And so his back is to her. She began to wet his feet with her tears. So you got the Pharisee, they're all sitting around having a nice meal, and this woman comes up and just starts weeping. And tears are coming down so that there's something going right to his feet. He kept wiping them with the hair of her head, was wiping his feet. It's amazing. How humble do you have to be to do that? How broken do you and I have to be she didn't care what anybody else thought. And kissing his feet and anointing them with perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, he didn't have the courage to say it out loud. Like many of us, we form thoughts and judgments without putting ourselves at risk. We just speak to ourselves, well, that's not right. But we don't tell anybody. We all do that at different times. Pharisee said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Keep going. And Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owned 500 denarii, the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which of them will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one who forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. Turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. So the question is, how much have you been forgiven today? How good are our good sins? The message in the story is that if you didn't become a prostitute, if you didn't become a tax swindler, if you went to church and you went to Bible school and all that, that's good. I'm not knocking any of that. But you still have a debt to pay that you're bankrupt. Your debt's only 50. And the other's 500. But it's equally, they're both bankrupt. They have no way of repaying. And when we see ourselves as justified by our own moral behavior, we move into a place of Phariseeism that is dangerous. And it also puts us in a place of looking at other people in a better than they attitude, because we only owe 50, but they own 500. And if you only owe 50, if you've only been forgiven for losing your temper 7 years ago, it's hard to, what else do I need to be grateful about? But if you realize how broken she was and the depth that she was, that she forgave, she's been forgiven so much. How much have we been forgiven? Whether we're deeply immoral or regarded as a good person, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. He said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Both spiritually bankrupt. Simon and the woman were unable to pay the cost of forgiveness. Simon, the Pharisee, was as bankrupt as the woman who committed all these sins. Her sins were very obvious to herself and to all around her. Self-righteous sins are not so obvious, are they? We owe a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt we did not owe. He did not owe. There's been a great divine exchange that takes place through our wonderful Savior. Apostle Paul started his journey by saying he was the least of the saints. Later, towards the middle of his ministry, he said he's the least of the apostles. At the end of his ministry, he said he's the chiefest of sinners. What? That's opposite. The closer you go, in all these seasons, it's well with my soul, and walking this thing out, that these stories you're hearing today, especially for our guests, you know, some of them you don't know all the backdrop of some of them, but they're life and death stories. They're stories that are so intimate. I mean, Susan, I went down with Charles Simpson, and I don't know that you had 2 weeks to live when we saw you that day. And now she's planting gardens. It's amazing. It is amazing. To love much, we must be forgiven much. How much have you been forgiven? If you don't need forgiveness, then I don't know what planet you're on. Self-righteousness blinds us to the truth, and it gives us a misplaced and presumptive confidence in ourselves. I often ask, how good a deal did God get when he got me? Pretty good deal, right? Hey, look what you got here. You got Kevin. What a great, John, he got you, and you played a piano. God needs a piano player. I mean, it's like he needs drummers. It's like God got such a great, what did he get? He got that woman in all of us. And all she comes back to him. And then that's why we sing all these songs. Praise you, thank you, thank you. You're so good, you're righteous, because it's all true. And it moves off of us onto him. His grace enables us to love the unlovable and to love the Lord with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul. Simon loved Jesus so very little because Simon thought he needed so little forgiveness. Gratitude is to be a way of life. May we always walk in forgiveness and mercy, devoted to the only one who could pay our debt. Two bankrupt people in this story, an immoral cast-off and a teacher of the law. Where am I in this story? Forgiven much or forgiven little? He made him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we're going to have communion.